Hello and welcome to the After After Show Show, the show after the show show, where we talk about things after the show. Fred, you had something immediately?
Well, mercifully, the podcast break has spared us from a truly horrendous joke. I was just going to say that I spent a solid hour yesterday playing around with vanilla beans because I've been making homemade vanilla extract, like I said I was going to on stream.
Cool.
Yeah, so...
We're attempting to do the same thing with lemon. We dehydrated lemon peel and now put it in vodka to see if it turns into lemon extract.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Very nice.
Cyan dehydrated the lemon peel, put it up in a food processor to chop it, and I was basically like huffing the food processor container for the lemon zest that was just still hanging in the air.
What I discovered about vanilla beans is that they are so intensely vanilla smelling that it almost loops around to not being appetizing. After a certain point, it just starts smelling very vegetal. It's like, this is a smell of like
this you is stuck an your, actual bean.
Yeah, like you stuck your face in a lily, like way too close, or like an orchid, and the pollen smell is starting to get to you. That was cool. But yeah, so now I have some shiny bottles of vanilla extract that I can't touch for 6 months because it takes a while for it to extract. Yeah.
The nice thing is you can often refill them.
Yes,
once you've
kind of
emptied it, you can put more either rum or vodka in it and make more extract.
Yeah, for context, Red texted me, "Hey, Blue, do you want some vanilla extract in 6 months?" I'm like, yeah. Yeah, we'll take it.
The only thing I'll be able to use before then is I had one bean left over, so I made some vanilla sugar. But I can't touch that for 2 weeks because it still needs to infuse.
You can also make really good citrus sugar. Ooh. 10 out of 10. When you're trying to use up citrus that's about to go bad, you can juice them. Well, first you zest them, mix that with sugar, juice them, and then freeze the juice. And then you just have to-go lemon or lime juice for a little water.
Well, I'm going to need to do that because I have a bunch of extra fancy bottles and the alchemist within me will not be denied, but I...
Yes.
Have you considered rebatching soap?
No, but I have considered soap making because every time I get on a royalty soap kick and she's like, it's great, let's just mix the lye in and here's all my PPE so that I don't die. And I'm just like, I could do that. That wouldn't kill me.
You can take pre-made soap and rebatch it into other types of soap that are like more moisturizing or have more lather or have honey in it.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to play with lye.
Yeah, but it's the chemistry that really appeals to me, you know?
Right, at one point you were going to do resin crafting in your apartment.
I was, yeah.
Nice. I mean, I did wood staining in our studio apartment when, I think before you moved in.
Before I moved in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did like wood carving and staining. And every time Blue leaves, he comes back and there's another project like half finished that's way not okay to be doing in an apartment.
Oh yeah, probably my most problematic trait is the sheer amount of like different chemical art projects I've done in small enclosed spaces in my lifetime.
I have an actual ventilator mask specifically for if I ever do anything like that, because my mom is really, really big on art material safety. And as soon as I even breathed that I was potentially interested in resin crafting, she was like, here is the exact kind of respirator that I have. Remember to check the filters every time you... And I was like, thank you. I'm not going to die, I promise.
Your mom would be horrified if she saw the things that I did for a production of Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, she would. I guarantee it.
I was
that spray
painting.
Foam was everywhere.
No.
Yeah. I spray painted a dress and I was like, oh, it's great, I'll do it outside. But the thing is, it took like the entire can of spray paint and I didn't want to leave it outside because it was going to snow.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it in like our little back entryway and it's permeated the entire first and second floor with just spray paint smell. We had to open all the windows. It was 20 degrees out.
A couple hours later, it cleared up, but it took some time.
I once went to an anime con in a sort of last minute closet cosplay Captain Marvel outfit. And I had a little domino mask that I had just painted with black nail polish and I'd let it dry overnight. But it turns out that doesn't get rid of all the solvents. So by the end of the day, I had a terrible headache because I just had nail polish stink right next to my nose all day.
I used to run into that problem a lot because I was the armorer for our fencing team in college, which meant that I sat in a small enclosed room and soldered things for like hours.
That's risky.
A week. And that I used to get some pretty bad headaches. And then I'd be walking home and be like, why does my head hurt?
Yeah, solder.
Never put it together.
Solder is a worrying thing to overexpose yourself to because it's all heavy metals.
Well, there's other kinds of solder you could use.
Yeah, but the stuff that dissolves out of it, well, I suppose the stuff that burns out of it is usually not the heavy metal part. Still not good for you.
No. But hey. No.
But our gear worked like
a charm.
At
least none of us lick our paintbrushes. That's my mom's biggest pet peeve. Cyan, that face doesn't look good. What does that expression mean?
I don't lick them. I just wash them in like the sink that we use for everything else.
That's not great, but it's not as bad as licking your paintbrushes.
We have a sink downstairs, like in the basement, that's for like dye stuff, but I keep having to re-separate our dye equipment from our food equipment because they look similar. They're different, but we only have one place to really wash them, which is the sink. So sometimes they get a little mixed. And then I have to be like, nope, this pot goes downstairs. This is the soap candle dye pot.
Might be good to write that in big letters on them.
They're the only stainless steel ones.
I have since learned what the difference is between the equipment.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is I didn't make it abundantly clear which ones were which.
Yeah.
Like, I knew, but I'm not the one who does the dishes most of the time.
I just took the dishes out and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this one recently. I guess Cyan was working on something different. I guess I'll just put this with the other stuff. And then Cyan's like, where's the dyeing pot? Yeah. Like, the what?
I mean, it's not quite the same thing, but for a while I was buying those little fancy yogurts that come in little ceramic pots because I wanted to use those ceramic pots to grow herbs at home, which has been working. Again, that's an impatience thing. I want the mint to grow faster, which is a very dangerous curse to invoke because I want to start making mint extracts. I think it would be very fun and cool, but the mint leaves are still so teeny weeny, so I don't want to kill them yet. But so I was for a while just storing all these little empty ceramic pots next to like my ramekins and like my actual plates where, you know, my food goes, but they were all exclusively for putting dirt in. And now that they've been dirtified, they can't go back with the other plates.
Usually no.
I feel like this gets at the
No, I was just gonna say we've started collecting plants. Like,
nice.
We had herbs that were like in the backyard. You know, we have a little garden, but it's cold. It's cold in the Northern Hemisphere. So we started keeping plants inside, and we now have a thing of herbs. Some roses I'm trying to propagate, some wildflowers, a piece of ginger, a little Christmas tree, and then a full-ass olive tree.
It's currently very small.
Yeah, it's like a one-year-old olive tree. Yeah. But we put it in a big pot, and now it's growing and really happy.
It's growing. It is excitedly growing. Like, I don't know plants, and I can tell that it's getting bigger.
Yeah, I have just like an infinite supply of pothos, or however you say it, just because it exists, and then I trim it, and I just propagate it in little glass jars and things, and like hang it on the walls, and it just continues to grow, and it's the only plant that I've ever been able to keep alive, and Ziggy doesn't eat it, so I'm like, I guess my whole apartment is just going to be this forever.
You gave us a pothos plant at the beginning of COVID.
You tried to give me
I gave a lot of people bottles that came from my college apartment because I had to move out, and I was like, I can't take all of this pothos with me, but I don't want to just throw it out. It's in all these Yingling bottles that I've emptied out and put water into. I got to do something with them. And I think you guys, a couple of the Greens, and many people went home with bottles of pothos against their will from that
year. I felt bad because I texted you and I was like, hey, I just want you to know Cleo's eating the pothos, and you're like, oh no, it's fine. Like, it's safe for cats to chew on. I'm like, no, you don't understand. She's eaten every leaf and now it is gone.
Like, she hole punched the pothos.
I'm like, I'm not worried about Cleo. I'm worried about the plant.
Lou and I have a friend who killed a mint plant that way. Impressively, he was, I think, working and he just had it within reach and he'd like pluck off a leaf and just chew on it as a snack. Yeah. And then at one point he looks over and realizes he's completely denuded the stalk. It is entirely dead.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why I keep my mint plant far away from my work areas. Because I don't think I would do that, but I don't know.
I would do that.
I mean, you have flowers right now. Please don't do that.
No, I would not.
They're little roses. I got him flowers for his birthday. But there's only so many flowers that are cat safe. So it's always like you get roses or sunflowers because I know those two are safe.
Yeah.
It must have been a rare treat to be able to buy those really brightly colored roses when you sent them my way for my birthday. Because it's like Cleo's not going to be anywhere near these ones.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Plants are interesting. I was trying to not have to buy any dirt, but hydroponics can only get you so far.
You gotta get dirt eventually.
At some point, you just.
But the good thing
dirt.
Is, you don't need as much dirt. Like, you kind of just usually you could buy if you're doing houseplants. Like, one bag of dirt's probably gonna sort you for a while for a lot of plants, especially if you're doing like smaller herbs and stuff. So hopefully, you don't need to buy a lot of dirt.
However, if you're doing a backyard garden, you need to buy a lot of dirt, especially when you live in a city and dirt is not readily available.
Yeah.
Mom's like, you can
always
just go
check
buy
with
dirt.
Local parks and municipal things. It's more common in the suburbs than in cities, but there are definitely places where people will like parks, public parks will sometimes have big piles of dirt and mulch available from when they rake leaves or, you know, do their own landscaping and have extra that you can kind of just come and take. But it is, I have experienced this much more when I was living with like my parents in the suburbs than now alone, but it is a thing to check for your city and for your area to see if you can get some free dirt.
Well, that was what my mom was. She's like, there's always dirt around. I'm like, no, you live in the middle of nowhere. We live in a city.
Yeah.
And we live, the closest park is where school kids go to play during school. So they just like clear, like if they do raking mm-hmm. or anything, it's like gone within an hour.
I was also going to say that I've been told by family members, like, dirt's everywhere. You can just go and take dirt. And I was like, no. If this is dirt I want to grow herbs in, I'm not going to just get something that's been, like, sprayed 5 million times with, like, pesticides or, like, dog cleaner or whatever. I don't even know.
You know those little cutouts in the concrete where there's the trees that get planted? Just, like, scoop up some of that. That dirt's going to have a ton of nutrients in it.
Oh, yeah. That stuff's probably totally safe.
Just plant some nitrogen-fixing stuff along with what you're doing. Just throw a little clover in there.
In my tiny little former yogurt pot, one mint plant and one clover plant in perfect symbiosis.
They're friends.
Do not separate them.
Do not separate me from my clover.
It's setting yourself up to accidentally pick a clover leaf and use that in your syrup instead of mint by mistake.
You can probably
clover
eat
is safe.
Clover.
Yeah, you can eat it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't eat it. I'm just saying that it might not taste like mint.
It will almost definitely not taste like mint.
Most likely.
I'm thinking about our friend who picked the mint off the plant because whenever there's like a garnish in a frilly drink that's like mint or basil, I scarf that shit down. It's the best part of the drink.
So we went and got sushi yesterday, and the funniest thing about sushi with Blue is that Blue loves sushi ginger.
I love sushi ginger.
And so I got like a soup that had ginger in it, and before our sushi came, I was like giving him pieces of ginger out of the soup. And then, you ate all of the ginger single-handedly that came with the sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom once had a bottle of candied ginger that I used when what was the confluence of events? It was like fourth grade. We were doing some kind of like medieval trade craft fair thing, and I got to be the apothecary. And my mom was like, here's all my random bottles of junk, and here's this thing of candied ginger. And I was very bored that evening, so I was just eating candied ginger every time my brain was like, I need something happening. It's not my favorite sweet, but if all you have is ginger, it's a decent way to make ginger slightly more edible.
I don't love ginger like as the dominant flavor in anything. I like spicy food a lot, but it's a particular kind of like spice that hits me. I'm like, I don't know if I love this. But when I was little, we would very, very rarely get sushi because my dad likes it, but no one else in our family was huge on it. But I loved as like a 8-year-old the taste of the rice that's on the outside of sushi rolls sometimes. And so he used to be so mad at me because I'd be like picking the rice off of the sushi as like a little kid.
Wow.
Like, yum yum yum, because like it's a flavor that I could just never find anywhere else, you know.
To be fair, so like my current hyperfixation is sushi rice, so I've been making like a lot of it because it's not that hard to make and it's really delicious. So when I'm like, I don't want to eat food, it's like, can I tempt you with sushi rice with a few sesame seeds on top and that powdered vegetable supplement? So it's like you're actually getting nutrients. I'm like, well, if you put it that way.
I'm going to have to start trying that.
Yeah, it's not really like good. The most difficult thing in the world to make by a long shot. But as an 8-year-old, it was a rarity, a treat.
Yeah.
A little snack that came to me only when my dad was feeling like he wanted to shell out a little bit. And then he got mad because he had shelled out on sushi that was now missing all of its rice.
Oh, yeah. My dad did the same thing. He'd go and get, like, grocery store sushi. And I would always steal one piece of a cucumber roll. And then Sister B was like, give me that sushi. She was always the one who would eat anything. So my dad would be like, stop it, stop.
I've since grown as a person and come around on sushi. I enjoy it quite a bit. But 8-year-old Indigo was really in the depths of it.
At some point, it occurred to me that I could cut out the middleman and simply like order just donburi bowls of sushi rice with salmon on top. Doesn't need to be in any other form. Everything else is just adding complications to the sushi that I don't need.
Yeah.
Nigiri's pretty good,
I'm excited.
Too.
I'm going
similar,
to get...
similar itch.
When did you get into sushi?
It took me a while to get into sushi because when I was younger, I had a really hard time with, like, the size of the sushi and the chewing it all the way. So I, like, almost offed myself on at least 3 occasions by not chewing sushi enough, and then it like I tried to swallow it and it would get like a little stuck, or like I wouldn't chew the seaweed enough so it would like basically just like occupy the entire stretch of my throat, and I'm like, I can't, I don't know if I want this to go up or down, but it needs to not be where it is.
Oh yes, the mozzarella stick effect.
Yeah, basically. So I needed to get over the hump of not dying when I ate sushi in order to be able to enjoy the taste.
Red, don't focus, give me that look. Flavor. You've definitely had a mozzarella stick that, like, the mozzarella went way too long in your throat, right?
I take bites! What are you people doing?
When they're hot, that you can't bite it because it's melting through your mouth.
I'm with Red on this one.
The amount of mozzarella sticks I choked on as a child growing up were, like, so basically all summer, my siblings and I were, like, moderately supervised in this one area that happened to have a snack bar. And at 7, I was given the keys to the snack bar, aka my parents were like, she can sign for it. Well, and the reason they gave it to me is because I would be like, okay, siblings, we can split one order of mozzarella sticks and an orange soda. Which is what we did. And we ate a lot of mozzarella sticks, a lot of orange or grape soda, sweet tarts, and...
The joy of a childhood snack bar.
Oh, and yeah, a banana split. Three of us would split a banana split because I'd get the chocolate, my sister would get the vanilla, and my other sister would get the strawberry.
That sounds perfect. That's a real Jack Sprat situation. I feel like the thing is, I just don't like it when things are way too hot. So if the mozzarella stick is, like, suitably gelatinous to cause that sort of effect, it's too hot for me to want to put in my mouth.
See, I feel like they become gelatinous.
Yeah, as they cool. Cold, it, like, becomes, like, chewy in a way that I don't love.
So anyway, I just don't eat mozzarella sticks anymore.
And I've gotten over my my skill issue with sushi,
we also,
which is truly the only way I can describe it.
We also don't get a lot of sushi rolls. We just get the rice with the fish over top a lot of times.
Yeah, nigiri's pretty good.
Because then you don't have to worry
I
about eating.
I can cut it into two bites.
Cut
it. It's great.
With a like chopstick, you just
kind of
I
just kind of pinch the chopsticks together and then I like split it.
I was like, look, I know we're all white people, but like what kind of white people bullshit?
That's some bullshit. Not to push too much on Blast Blue, but do what you gotta do to enjoy your sushi, but that's some bullshit right there. But this is continuing the trend of we've talked about a food on the After Show, and now I think I have to order takeout for dinner, which I feel bad about if it wasn't this. My birthday is also the same week we're recording this, so I don't feel that bad about it.
We're getting an ice
treat
cream cake.
Woo. Hell yeah.
Ice cream cake. And then we'll probably have to actually eat some food, but I made brownies. Like in a little butt pan with the cream cheese frosting.
A little what pan?
Bunt.
Bunt.
Oh, cool.
What did... Oh.
Don't worry about it.
You said butt pan.
Bunt. That's how you say it. Bunt. B-U-N-T.
Yep. That is how you would say that word.
Bunt.
It's everyone is hearing butt is what's happening.
No, I'm aware what happened.
This
I'm
is
just
snowboarder
saying,
all over again.
This is like the fucking fifth conversation about asses I've had in one week.
So anyway, you made brownies in an ass pan. Go on.
Put cream cheese frosting on it. So now we have four remaining brownies, some lemon biscotti, and we're getting an ice cream cake. And it's like, we at some point need to have real food, right? Right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I also, early in COVID, Sina and I took a vacation to... a fun area near us that we'd never been to before that has this really nice chocolate shop. And I had some raspberry little chocolates and I was like, Cyan, you can get me these from this shop for my birthday
and
every
I did.
Year. You can get this for me every year and I will not complain. And she has done exactly that. We were in Iceland and she brought a little 2 6-packs to Iceland that we could enjoy while we were out there. I think you both remember that.
It was a 6-pack and a 12-pack. The 12-pack for everyone to split and the 6-pack for you.
Six pack was for me.
Risking
yeah.
the wrath and, of customs, no less.
And once again, this year I have the chocolate, so I am spoiled for sweets this week. It's great.
I think, yeah, and then for Indigo, we made cinnamon buns.
We did, which is very sweet.
Turns out cinnamon buns in Iceland don't come with frosting.
Oh, yeah.
So we had
we
to, like,
do.
Yeah, my friend and I, like, had to go through the grocery store. We're like, what will make frosting? Okay, sugar and milk. We got this.
God, I miss Iceland so much. If any of y'all ever think of going to Iceland, hit up Northgard, or not Northgard, that's
Midgard.
A video game. Midgard Adventures. Yeah. it's a travel company in a tiny little village called Fossfolud, and they just take you everywhere.
They're really
the
near a volcano museum, too, which was so fun.
Yeah. That reminds me. There was a thing that I was going to say in the pod, and I was like, I'll save it for the ass, then I didn't. But it's I've been listening through Children of Ash and Elm, because Luna History, Adam recommended it like several streams back. And it's like a history of Vikings book. It's really good. And I just got to this bit that's so, so interesting.
You told me about this.
Yeah, it was like making me start conspiracy boarding. And this is directly relevant, because it's about Iceland. because there was this massive volcanic eruption in like the mid 500s, and there's evidence mm-hmm. that there was a pretty significant climate change in the area as a result, and like I think like only 3% of Norway's land is tillable even under normal circumstances, and
on a good day.
Yeah, and the cooling of the northern hemisphere basically dropped that to 0%. So there's signs of like mass abandonment of certain living spaces. There's places that used to be farmland reverting to forests. Just evidence that like the people who were living there had to move or die. And they're like, yeah, judging by the archaeological record, it seems like these weird volcanic winter conditions would have lasted about 3 years. And I was like, ding, 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 suspicion. And what the chapter continued was basically like, yeah, so this makes it seem like perhaps the legend of Ragnarok was drawing on a historical event that would have been in the collective memorial consciousness of like a time where the world kind of did end and our society was radically changed. And this is like 200 years pre the beginning of the Viking Age. But like it takes a pretty significant social upheaval for something like the Viking Age to start, where it's like we're all just going to pile into longships and start following these rivers as far as they can go and pillaging along the way. That is a shift from going from like 0 to 100 in the space of like a few years.
This is not directly related, but I listen to a lot of weird songs. I have a whole playlist called Oops All Odd Songs, and I would highly recommend The Vampire Conspiracy by Ollie Frost. It's about how climate change is made up by vampires because they want you to go outside so that you can eat them. And the chorus is, a cleaner, fairer world, that's our evil plot. Free range organic humans have the most delicious blood. And I don't know why you made me think of that, but I would highly recommend that. Oh, yeah.
Climate
change.
I would
highly recommend that song among others.
That's amazing.
Ragnarok.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, it resolved this thing that's been bugging me, which is that, like, Ragnarok is a myth. It pre-exists Snorri Sturluson and the Christianization of Iceland. It has to, because it's not the right shape of myth for it to have been a post-Christianization invention to explain the end of the old gods. But it is extremely convenient that explains the end of the old gods shortly before Christianity rocks up with a new god for them to start worshiping in a big way. And so there's all these interpretations about, like, maybe we can make it make sense that Ragnarok is some kind of Christianized form. But it's like, it doesn't actually work. But if it was an actual myth that the poets that Snorri was drawing on were writing about, that was basically like, hey, remember when this crazy thing happened? That was the prophesied downfall of the previous generation of gods. You remember when that shit happened? In the same way that Plato's dialogues about Atlantis are like, hey, remember that thing that happened to the Theron Island? Like that, but worse and older.
Would that be fucked up or what anyway? I'm Snorri Sturluson.
Why does that work so well?
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know. I just thought that was really cool. And it definitely helped make a few things click. And I mentioned this to Adam because I was like, I've been listening through it. And I was just like, whoa. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's Neil's pet theory. And I was like, well, now it's also my pet theory.
This is OSP Doctrine official. Look for it in the next North Myth video.
Well, because it's like Iceland sort of semi-regularly explodes in a big way every 100 years or so. Apparently, if you check the record, they're like, when's a weird high spike in like the compounds that get released in a volcanic eruption? And it's pretty consistently like once a century. And there was the one in the 560s that seems to have been correlated with this shift. But there was also one in like the 800s that Adam was like, maybe that one would have been more of a direct inspiration for the poets that were writing about Ragnarok. I just thought that was really cool. Yeah.
So what we're saying is the Icelandic volcanoes cause problems.
Which we all wouldn't be familiar with at all.
No.
Icelandic volcano problematic.
Jeez.
I've zoned
out a little bit. I've been deciding if I should get sushi or go to walk to Popeyes instead.
Sushi, man. We were just talking about sushi rice.
I know, but I love Popeyes.
You
can
do
both later. And I can get a spicy chicken sandwich. No, I can't do both.
Unrelated, but kind of related.
Somewhat responsible this week.
To what happened in the pod, and also just another fun song. When you mentioned Lord of the Rings, the there's a song called Diggy Diggy Hole that has just been playing on repeat in my head. It's by the Longest Johns.
That's Dwarf Fortress, right?
It's probably, but yeah. They have a version of it that is just really fun and plays in my head. It's the Diggy Diggy Hole community version. 10 out of 10 recommend. It will get stuck in your head and you will not be able to sleep because it just goes Diggy Diggy Hole, Diggy Diggy Hole.
I am a dwarf fan of digging a hole.
I had a version of Worst Pies in London on loop in my head yesterday, but like the skipping record version because I don't remember the song well enough to have it just play through front to back. Yeah. And it's a very weird, complicated song. Sweeney Todd's an interesting musical.
Yeah.
What other Iceland stuff can we talk about?
Well, let's see. We covered volcanoes. Northern Lights.
Northern Lights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The main time we saw it was on the plane. Mm-hmm. And then we all were standing, like, trying to go see it outside, and we were taking shifts.
Yeah, Red, you and I were out there. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but it's a funny story where it was like, this is basically the last night that we will be able to see it before we go back to Reykjavik. And this is the best night that we've had so far for the lights to be there. We just basically need to wait for a break in the cloud cover. It's 1 a.m. We're going to be out here waiting, looking up until eventually we see something.
But the fun thing is, I'd been out there for a hot minute already, and I was like, I just don't see it. And then you came out to make sure I wasn't dead. And then you were like, is that it? And I looked up, and there was just this faint band of green that wasn't moving in the same directions as the clouds. And it was clearer through our phone cameras, which is part of why I want to go back and do it right this time.
Let's go again.
It wasn't quite as egregious as me like walking up and being like, hey, Red, what's that? But, like, within 5 minutes of me getting out there, I feel like is when it actually broke through the clouds.
But, like, truly,
and I had just bullied everyone to go to bed.
Yes. But, like, truly, if you hadn't pointed
somewhat
it out...
Somewhat unsuccessfully, as I remember sitting in that front room for quite a while.
No, this was after that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, truly, if you hadn't come out and pointed it out, like, it took me a little while to recognize, like, oh, that is what that is, because it was so faint. But, again, through a phone camera, the color was a lot more obvious. So if you hadn't come out, I probably would have just been like, oh man, I didn't see any, because it just would have been like weird clouds.
We could also just go really far north in Canada.
Yeah, I've been considering that, honestly. It turns out they're hiding a lot of national parks up in Alaska, so like...
To be fair, there's a lot of Alaska.
It's true.
There's a lot of Alaska.
Looking for Alaska. It's very big.
Alaska from the tip of the Aleutian Islands to the very bottomy part that's like right next to Vancouver, wherever the hell it is, basically stretches from California to Florida. It is wide.
Jeez. I'm going to get Popeyes, I've decided.
Good job.
That's okay.
We're very proud of you.
Now I really want to get pizza, which is not something we discussed, but we passed it earlier, and I was like, ooh, we can get a pizza. And Blue was like, oh, no, it's okay. We'll just eat something at home.
No, I offered if you wanted to stop.
You asked. Yeah, you're like, we can get a slice. I'm like, no, it's fine. We have home food.
Okay.
A big part of this decision is because by the time this comes out, this will already have happened, but Red and I are going to be on the Rolling with Difficulty Q&A after this, and I have an unofficial tradition where I do get Popeyes before a lot of those recordings just because it is a very quick thing that I can pick up and it's not crazy expensive. And Austin has yelled at me for it, so I think it'll be very funny if I show up to this with Popeyes.
Then let's make it happen.
Perfect. We gotta live our dreams.
Well, thank you all for listening to this After
Are
Show
done?
Show.
Is that
we're like 3 minutes out. We're fine. We can end it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sure we've
got
more.
I thought this was let's break to get food.
No, I mean, I'm gonna put in my pickup order for Popeyes, but we can vamp for 3 minutes.
I'm sure.
Here's what Indigo gets from Popeyes. Here's 3 minutes of content based on my Popeyes order. It's the spicy chicken sandwich with a side of fries, and if I'm feeling really fancy, I'll get one of those fountain sodas where you can mix it up yourself a little bit and go for like a cherry Coke.
Love
but I don't think I'm feeling that today because I'm trying not to drink too much soda on the reg. So I think it's gonna just be chicken sandwich, fries, spicy chicken sandwich specifically. I'm intrigued by the new wings, but I don't know if I'm intrigued enough to switch up my go-to order. Yeah. And that was
the 1994 movie The Shadow is bad. I can discuss why.
Birds of Prey was pretty good. I had fun with that.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I had a fun time with Birds of Prey. I think it kind of got a bad rap just on reflex.
Yeah.
But it's a perfectly fine movie.
It's probably the best thing that came out of the DC universe at that time.
Hey, like, Aquaman was an actually good movie.
Birds of Prey is so much better than Aquaman. First Wonder Woman's good, but like Birds of Prey is so fun. It's so unique and like has such a clear idea of what it wants to be. I'm not saying it's like a perfect movie, but I was like, oh, someone like had an idea and they executed that, which is so much more than I can say about like 90% of the movies.
That's true. That actually reminds me. So I was just at a convention this weekend, Capricon, which is a Chicago sci-fi convention that I've been going to for several years because it's a small-scale fandom con, and honestly, we've been to so many huge multimedia cons. Small fandom cons are where it's at. They are just legitimately so comfortable and fun to go to. But I was on two comic-related panels with one of the kind of celebrity guests, Gene Ha, who is a comic writer and illustrator. He recently did something called Wonder Woman Historia, which is like a bunch of stuff the Amazons got up to before Diana grew up and became Wonder Woman. And when we started the first comic panel, we were like making small talk for a few minutes while people filed in, and he leaned over like it was the most normal thing in the world and was like, by the way, I looked up your webcomic after you put it in your profile and it's quite good. And then he just started like being like, yeah, you've got a really good grasp of like directional flow. Like, you know, you look at the page from this large scale and you completely understand the movement, and then you zoom in and it all makes clear sense. And it's very, and he like showed it to like one of the other panels and they were like, oh yeah, that's quite good. And I was like, oh God, what's happening?
Just like cringing. Your close personal friend, Gene Ha.
Oh my God. Also, he just such a lovely guy. And we were talking a lot about comics and how they've changed, and also comic adaptations. So it was just a very fun suite of conversations. That's honestly what I love about small scale fandom cons, is that you get to be on panels with just like you get fans, you get professionals, you get absolutely everybody in between. It's just so cozy. But yeah, and then so he was just really fucking nice about it. And I was like, wow, this is a guy's an actual, like, legitimate industry professional who's not a pre-existing fan of me and has no reason to be, like extra nice, and is just genuinely like, hey, you know what you're doing. So that was validation I was not anticipating.
Now I feel like I should read Aurora.
You don't have to.
I just have been getting it secondhand and then third hand.
Well, I read it over winter break. It's really good.
Yeah. I did recently.
I'm playing catch up on Arc 1 currently.
I did recently introduce a character, which Syed, I was telling you about. And the funny thing is, all the audience people were like, is this a blue cameo? Because it's a character with like a short blue haircut. And I was like, close, but no cigar.
I think I know what character it is because I've gotten a couple people being like, is this Danny? I'm like, this is not Danny.
This is not Danny. No, it's very
unrelated. Different thing.
And the thing is, the inspiration for them is came when we were navigating the New Zealand airport because you were using forearm crutches, I think. Yeah. And I was like, Cyan's really motoring. This is interesting. And like character creation thoughts started popping in my head. And I was like, I don't want to be weird about this. I don't want, like, I try not to base characters on people I know in real life most of the time, because I'm like, I don't want to be a little bit weird. But I was like, no, I can make this work. I think this could be fun. And they
representation.
Just yeah. And the thing is, like, I'm always so shocked at how low the bar is when it comes to something yeah. like this. Because I was like, here's a character with forearm crutches and basically a magically induced chronic illness. And, yes, and they also have blue hair and pronouns, because why the fuck not? And then, like, I learned a lot of people who follow me on Tumblr are non-binary and disabled, because they were like, oh my God! So, yeah, happy to clear the bar, I guess. But
the bar is so low, you don't understand.
I truly didn't understand, but someone pointed out, like, it's a very common trope in fantasy media that has healing magic to just be like, healing magic can obviously fix anything that's wrong with a person, which means disability simply will not happen. And it's like, I don't know if that's true or should be true if you're writing a world like that. And it's a very interesting conversation, I think, because I have understood that there's sort of some argument about this, where it's like some people are like, if I'm having an escapist fantasy story, I want a fantasy of my body being perfectly healthy. And then there are people who are like, if I want a fantasy escapism story, I want to be able to see myself in it with, you know, everything that's going on with me. And I think both perspectives have complete merit. You know, everybody's got, so it's a kind of a competing access need, but in the space of fiction. But I thought this character was fun, and I'm glad I put them in there.
Yeah. Much as I would be thrilled to have my insert character be talking smack to Aaron's face, I recognize this is not my space to occupy.
If you want an insert character, when I slap him in the academy in like two arcs,
I can't ask for an insert character. I organically found your insert character earlier in the story.
That's true.
And I know that it is not good protocol to ask for an insert character. It happens where it happens, where it makes sense. And I will either catch it or I won't.
So see, you can go back and find a mysterious red insert character.
Oh, people figured it out already. Aurora. Sometimes when I don't know what to put in the background, I'll just be like, I'll just slap a me in there. Why not?
pretty
funny.
I sent
you the screen cap. I'm like, this is you. This is you.
It's okay. The
you're
hair.
Right
the fact
here.
That you're window shopping for swords. And I was like, correct.
We have officially overcorrected for our time issue
Yay.
Earlier. My Popeye's order
Yay.
Has been placed for pickup. So I want us to end this so I can go get my spicy chicken
all
sandwich.
Right. We got to go get an ice cream cake. Who wants to take us out? Cyan, you want to take it again?
Yeah, thanks for watching the ass.
No,
hope
not
you enjoyed. Tell your friends to join the Patreon and then they could hear the ass. Okay, bye.
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 Thank you for guesting with us, Cyan.
Bye. Happy Valentine's Day.